Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the second book of Samuel. Second book of Samuel, we're going to go through chapter 16 and 17. Well, so 16 and 17, one of them's a little short, so we'll go through two this afternoon. I'll let you guys get there. We'll open in prayer. Just a reminder, while you're going to chapter 16, there's no Bible study next Thursday because I'm going to be on vacation. Okay, so we'll catch up the following Thursday. My vacation starts on Monday. Yeah. So no Bible study Thursday. At least here, you can still study. But none here. Okay, I'll let you guys get there again. Second book of Samuel, chapter 16 and 17. We'll go through the Word of God in a minute. We're going to open in prayer. Let's go ahead and let's do that. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name to go through your word, we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us as we go through your word, that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 16. David and his household fled to Jerusalem and went east over the Mount of Olives. Right, they stopped at the Jordan River to await direction from David's informants in Jerusalem. We were talking about that last Thursday. Just a couple of characters. There's a lot of characters in this. These next two chapters. There's a lot of names. So whenever there's a lot of names like this, I'm sure if you've already read these chapters, it's hard to keep track of everybody because there's just so many different characters here. You know, we got David, of course. We all know that. We've been talking about him for a long time. His son Absalom, that's easy as well to follow. But we got this man Ahithophel. We've been reading about him. It was one of David's counselors who actually turns on David. We're going to see that in this chapter. So you got Ahithophel. We also got a man by the name of Hushai. Okay, that's a close friend of David's who's going to actually help David to figure out what's going on. We also, we're going to read about Mephibosheth, another name, another tongue twister, right? That's Jonathan's son. Remember, Saul had Jonathan, and he had his son Mephibosheth. Okay, so there's another. And then there's Ziba. We're going to read about a man by the name of Ziba, and that's a servant of Mephibosheth. So there's a lot here. Then we're going to even read about another man by the name of Shimei. Shimei, right? He's a relative of King Saul who curses David. He doesn't like David at all, which we're going to see. And so we got a lot of people that we're going to be talking about. We'll try to go slow and hopefully it sticks, you know. And so let's go ahead. Let's tackle it. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's go chapter 16, verse 1. It's about Mephibosheth's servant. Verse 1 says, when David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. Sounds pretty good, huh? And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these things? He's like, huh, what is all this about, Ziba? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Verse 3 says, then the king said, and where is your master's son? He's talking about Mephibosheth. And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. Verse 4 says, so the king said to Ziba, here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I humbly bow before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Let's stop here for a minute. Try to take this in little sections so we can kind of follow this story here. So when David had passed over the Mount of Olives, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, as we just read, he met him with donkeys with a lot of provisions to give to David, trying to butter David up, okay? And David asked Ziba about Mephibosheth. He's like, hey, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba told him that he had elected to stay behind in hopes that the throne that he once belonged to his grandfather be returned to him. But we're going to find out down the road that was just all made up. He made all that up. Okay? So David, though, here, he believed Ziba, and he gave him all the lands that belonged to Mephibosheth. He says, oh, really? Mephibosheth doesn't want to come out? Okay, I'll give you all these things. You can have all of King Saul's things, you know, his land and the estates and all that. But we're going to find out there's more to the story with this guy, Ziba, as we go. All right, so let's pick up. We're going to pick up here in chapter 16, verse 5. This is Shimei, okay? He's a relative of Saul, okay? So if you keep that in mind. Verse 5 says, now when King David came to Baram, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came, as David, right? He started cursing David. Verse 6 says, and he threw stones at David. This guy's a brave man, huh? And at all the servants of the king, right? Of all the servants of King David. So he's throwing stones at David and all his people. He does not like David at all. He's part of Saul's family. And it says, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and on his left. Verse 7 says, also Shimei said this when he cursed David. Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. As he's talking to David, cursing him. Verse 8 says, the Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Verse 9 says, then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, this is one of David's commanders, he says, why is this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take his head off. Wow. And this guy could do it. He's one of his toughest commanders, this guy. Let me go take Shimei's head right off so we don't have to listen to him. And verse 10 says, but the king said, let me go over. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. So David thinks the Lord put him up to it. Okay? So it says, who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all the servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse. For so the Lord has ordered him. So again, David thinks this is the Lord put this on his heart to curse him. Okay? And it says in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. So David's saying, hey, let him curse me, whatever. Maybe it's from the Lord after that. Maybe the Lord will feel bad for me and we'll be done with this. This is his thinking. Verse 13 says, and as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite of him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up the dust. This guy's really after David, huh? I don't think he cares for him. Verse 14 says, now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. So let's stop here for a minute. Let's just talk about this. So David's company moved on, right? They encountered this relative of Saul, this Shimei. And Shimei mocked David, threw stones at him and threw stones at David's people. He belonged to Saul. He knew all the wars with Saul was trying to kill David. We read all about that before. And he probably, you know, being part of Saul's family, took Saul's side and never liked David, because things always worked better for David than Saul. And so it's just a relative, and he doesn't like David at all. So he cursed David, right? He's saying he also said he was a man of blood. He had blood on his hands. He said, you're a bloodthirsty man. He He viewed David as a guy who just went around and killed all kinds of people, which he killed a lot of people. And but he also killed a lot of people that God had ordered him to kill. These were evil, wicked people. These are the people that were living inside the land that were very wicked. And God wanted to use him and use Israel to wipe these people out because of the things they did. God gave those nations, we talked about that, these seven wicked nations that were living inside of Canaan that were doing wicked, evil things, you know, like sacrificing their babies to a false god through fire and doing all kinds of wacky stuff, real paganism stuff. And God gave them plenty of time to repent, that's for sure. They never did. So he used Israel, go out and wipe them out, right? We read about that. He said, if you don't wipe these people out, they're going to be thorns in your side forever. And unfortunately, they got complacent. They didn't wipe them all out. And here we are 2,000 years later, and everybody around Israel still wants to wipe them out. But most of them do, right? God warned them 2,000 years ago, but way beyond that. Way beyond that. Moses time, he says, you got to wipe these people out. They're going to be thorns in your side. They're wicked, evil people. Terrorists. But anyway, so Abishai, as we read, he's the brother of Joab, another commander. Of David's, and he asked David, he said, hey, I tell you, why don't you just let me go over there and take this guy's head off, Shimei. Yeah, I could have used him in Desert Storm, this fella. Just go over there and take this guy's head right off right here. Right? David, though, he said, no, we're not going to do that. And he said, no, this could be from the Lord. Right? You ever something bad happen in your life, and you're just like, geez, Lord, why is this happening to me? Could be from the Lord. You're saying, could be from the Lord, right? Sometimes things happen in our lives. And I'll tell you, I'll just share with you a little bit. I see a lot that God will bring somebody to the end of themselves to get them to come to him. That has happened, right? If you read through the scriptures, God, a lot of people truly come to Christ when they have a contrite heart, it says. That's a worried heart, a really down, you know, hit rock bottom. So normally, as we see in the scripture too, when and we see this in real life, sometimes it takes somebody to really come to the end of themselves and really go through something really bad in their life to get them closer to him. And God will do that. He'll work in ways to get you, to get your attention, send a storm. I'm not saying everybody. Maybe send a storm into your life to get you refocused on him, right? So David's thinking, this isn't good, but this could be from the Lord. He's trying to get maybe God's at hand here. We're not going to be taking people's heads off. Let's just see how it plays out. So I do believe myself, this is my belief, most people truly surrender their life to Christ when things are bad. When things are going good and you're on top of the world, most people think, I don't need God. Things are great. Right? It's kind of like people praying, right? Things are great. Oh, man, couldn't be any better. Haven't prayed in months because they're on top of the world. But when something bad happens, oh, it changes everything. But, yeah, so I think this is David's thinking here. I've often told people, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you are in trouble. Amen? If you only pray when you're in trouble, you are in trouble. Yeah. So anyway, David's company, they continue down the road until they reach the Jordan River. That Shimei here followed them, as we read, and he cursed them all the way, threw rocks at them. But I just want you to know something. Just before David dies, in the book of Kings, I think it's the first book of Kings, chapter 2, I don't know what verse, but David tells Solomon before he dies, he says, hey, there's this guy Shimei. He says, make an oath with this man, and if he breaks it, execute him. So David didn't forget later on down the road. You can read it in the first book of Kings, chapter 2. I think it's towards the end of the chapter. The Shimei guy isn't getting off the hook. David took a little mental note of this guy. He's thinking probably, if this ain't from the Lord, yeah, hey, we're going to take this guy out. Because he tells Solomon on his day, when he's just about done his life, he says to King Solomon, his son, he says, hey, there's this guy Shimei. Not too crazy about what he did to me and the boys. make an oath with him. The oath was, tell him he's got to stay in Jerusalem for 3 years. He leaves Jerusalem, execute him. And he did. He left Jerusalem and he said, hey, you broke your oath, come here. And I think he had one of his commanders, Benaniah, I think, said, take his hat off. So anyway, just kind of a little side note. We'll get to Kings eventually. Yeah, we're taking our time here. So anyway, let's pick back up. Let's pick up in verse 15. So now, you see, now we're switching to this other guy, Ahithophel. You see what I mean? There's a lot of names here. It's hard to kind of put this story all together. But again, this is a counselor who turned against David, Ahithophel. So verse 15 says, meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. So Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? Just stop here for 1 second. Absalom knows that Hushai, this guy, is a real close friend to David. So he's wondering, why are you joining my side telling me, long live the king? Is that too loyal to my father? So this is why he says that. But he's trying to be an informant for David to find out what's going on. So verse 18 says, and Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence. So he's saying, I'm going to join your team. Verse 20 says, and Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines. Now remember real quick, let's just stop here for a minute. Remember when David left Jerusalem? We read that he left 10 concubines behind, right? He took his whole family, took everybody, took his wives, said, we got to get out of here, we got to flee. But he left 10 concubines back to take care of the household. So there's 10 of them still there. So that's why he says, let's go into your father's concubines. This guy's pretty sick, huh? And he says, whom he has left to keep the house, these 10 women, and all Jerusalem will hear that you are abhorred by your father, that means despised, then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines. Look at this. In the sight of all of Israel. Wow. That's something, huh? Some sick men. And it says, verse 23, now the advice of Ahithophel, this is what this man advised Absalom to do, which he gave in those days was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So it was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So that's the end of the chapter, actually. So let's just talk about this. So you know when you come across the scriptures and it says the oracles of God, that's God putting the words in your mouth, okay, oracles of God. The people viewed Ahithophel as a very smart, he was one of David's councilmen, so they viewed him very smart. He would always go to him, hey, what should we do? And he would give advice, right, like a counselor, right? He was a counselor to David. But they said, as we read, I think it was last week or the week before, we read that the people thought that this guy was like a prophet, because every time he gave advice or said something was going to happen, it happened. So the people were like, this must be God putting the words, or the oracle of God's putting the words in these men's mouth to speak, right? Like when God sends prophets, he'd put the words in their mouth and tell them, hey, I want you to go tell the people, repent, return back to me, whatever. That's called the oracles of God. So, but anyway, Absalom here and all his allies, they entered into Jerusalem. David had left, and Hushai, David's friend, which was a spy for him, he met with Absalom, as we read, and he convinced him, as we read, that he was going to be on his side, right? But Hushai now, he's come to Absalom and says, hey, I'm going to serve you. You're the new king. But really, he's there as a spy to get information to send back to David. Okay, so Hushai, he didn't betray David. Ahithophel did. Right? Hushai is a good friend of David. So now he's coming in and he's trying to get in with Absalom. Let's find out what's going on. David said, we need to know what's going on. They've got to come out here and kill us. And where do we need to go? So try to keep that in mind. So Ahithophel, he was a counselor, turned on David. Hushai is a good friend of David who stuck with David. Okay? So he's there and he's kind of smooching Absalom. Hey, I'm here with you. You're going to be the new king. You know, I served your father. I'm going to serve you too. Yeah, and then Absalom, he asked Ahithophel, he went to him and said, hey, I need some advice. What should we do? And he tells him, hey, I'll tell you what we can do. I'll tell you what you can do. Go sleep with your father's concubines, all 10 of them in front of Israel. They'll know. They'll know that you're the new man in town, I guess. Awful, huh? Isn't this awful? I mean, we've been reading these last few chapters. I mean, it's been for a few weeks now. It's been pretty bad. We read about Amnon, who was David's son, raped his sister Tamar from two separate moms, different moms, same dad, David. Then Absalom, who we're reading about now, he found out that his sister was raped by Amnon, and Tamar and Absalom were from the same mom, same dad. So David didn't do anything about it. He looked the other way. So he said, fine. 2 years later, he killed him, killed his brother, his half-brother. Now Absalom's trying to take over his father's kingdom, and now he did this to his concubines that were left behind. I mean, it's terrible, huh? Remember we read back there when it was the prophet Nathan went to David and said, God's forgiven you for committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah. That the prophet Nathan said, God is not happy. You did a grave thing, David. But God's forgiven you. He repented, right? Psalm 51. But God said, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, you're forgiven, but the consequences of your sin is going to ruin your family to the end of your days. And this is what we're reading. Everything God said is going to happen, right? Because ever since he did that evil, wicked sin, affected the whole family. And it's going to affect the whole family right to the end. I mean, Absalom, we're going to read here soon, Absalom's going to get killed. So it's a real mess. I think we've got the storm coming, huh, guys? Whipping around. We might have to do 5 chapters now. Gail says, fine by me. Yeah. I hope none of your windows are open. But, I mean, it's just such a mess, huh? All this we see unraveling, I'm like, wow, it really shifted, right? We've been reading about David, and he's been just in communication with the Lord, and he's been conquering, he's been doing good, he's been getting information from the Lord, going to him, he wouldn't make a move, and things go good. And then all of a sudden, he starts to get lax, and then all this unravels, and now it's just terrible. It's like we're not even reading about the same guy and his family. But anyway, let's go into chapter 17. This is about Absalom and his advisors plot to kill King David during his exile, right? David's secret spy, Hushai, successfully convinces Absalom to delay the attacks, which we're going to read about, allowing Hushai to warn David to cross over to the Jordan River immediately to safety. And that's going to lead to Ahithophel's suicide as well. Yeah, some pretty crazy chapters, huh? So let's read chapter 17. The Word of God says in verse 1, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak, and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee. And I will strike only the king, King David. Verse 3 says, then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace. Verse 4 says, And they're saying, please, Absalom, and all the elders of Israel. Man, you imagine that right there? Just hang on one sec. It pleased Absalom to hear that this guy, Ahithophel, is going to go take David's head off, kill him, his father. It pleased him. He's like, yeah, sounds like a plan. Go take his head off. Do what you got to do. And you know what the saddest part is? It says all the people of Israel were good with it too. The people that were siding with him. Terrible. Well, here comes advice from Hushai. It says, then Absalom said, now call Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say too. And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. Verse says, so Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men. And they are enraged in their minds, crazy. Right? So he says, hey, you know David and his men, they're cuckoo. These are mighty warriors. Don't be thinking you're going to go in there and this is going to be easy. He's trying to talk them out of it. Right? And it says, these guys are like a bear robbed, right? Or cubs in the field. And your father, he's a man of war. So he's telling them, you know your father, Absalom, he's a warrior. Don't think you're going in there and this is going to be easy. And it will not, right? And he, right, will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at first that whoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. Verse 10 says, and even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. So he's clearly trying to talk him out of this, right? For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man. And David was. He was a warrior. And those who are with him are valiant men. He did. He had some tough commanders, tough men with him. Like that guy wanted to take his head off. He said, let me just take his head off so we never listen to him. All right? Verse 11 says, therefore I advise, Hushai says, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba. Now, Dan is at the very top of Israel, and Beersheba is down the very bottom. So he's saying, from the top to the bottom. He says, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one of them. Verse 13 says, moreover, if he has withdrawn into the city, then all Israel should bring ropes to that city. And we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. Verse 14 says, so Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. I bet Ahithophel didn't like that. Look at this right here. Look at the rest of this verse. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. Let's stop here. You catch that at the end there? It's all the work of the Lord. Putting the bad words in Ahithophel's heart and mind to give bad advice, and he's given wisdom to Hushai to deter this whole thing, so to protect David, right? Says at the very end, right? For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, right? To the intent that the Lord might bring disaster upon Absalom. So the Lord is obviously on David's side, right? He doesn't agree with any of this. So, after David fled Jerusalem, Ahithophel, this man, he counseled Absalom. He says, hey, we got to get 12,000 guys together. We got to go take out David. He says, but we'll just get everybody. We're just going to kill David, and we'll bring him back to you, and that'll be good. And we read Absalom, yeah, sounds like a plan. Until they talked to Hushai. And then they got the advice from Hushai, and he argued and said, I don't think that's good advice. right? Absalom didn't know that he's on David's side, right? And he reminds Absalom that David was a real warrior and it wasn't going to be easy to go in there and take him out, which it wouldn't have been, and it's not going to be, right? So again, this Hushai guy, he's a very close friend to David. He's very loyal to him, and he's staying true to it, right? So instead of Hushai advised Absalom to unite all of Israel under his leadership. He's kind of pumping them up, saying, hey, let's get everybody together first. We'll get everybody on your side. We're going to do it this way instead. He's just trying to kill time so he can go back and tell David what they're planning. That's what he's doing, right? He's saying, hey, let's get the whole nation. We're going to get the whole nation from Dan to Bathsheba on your side. We'll raise you up. We're going to get all the troops. Just trying to stall. And Absalom and his advisors agreed that Hushai's counsel was better than Ahithophel's. Yeah. So let's see what happens. Let's go ahead and pick up. And I think I'm just going to read right down to the end of this. Right? Hushai warns David to escape. So verse 15 says, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. So we got two more men on the scene. Two more names, right? These are the sons of the priest who are on David's side. So Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, they're priests, right? He said, they're the priests. They each have two sons. Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend the night in the plains in the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with you be swallowed up. So he's sending them out, telling them, hey, you got to move on out. Verse 17 says, now Jonathan and Ahimaaz, those are the priest's sons, these two fellows. There's so many names here, right? And it says, the priest's sons here stayed in En-Rogel, for they dared not to be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell the king, King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them, some boy saw them, and they told Absalom what was going on. Right? But both of them went away quickly and came to the man's house in Baram, who had a well in the court, in his court, and they went down into the well to hide. Or I wouldn't want to get stuck down there. Right, went into the well to hide. I don't know if I would have picked that one. Went down to the well to hide, right? It says, verse 19 says, then the woman took and spread a cover over the well's mouth, right? She spread ground, grain on it, and the thing was not known. So she covered up for them, and they were in the well and didn't get caught. Verse 20 says, and when Absalom's servant came to the woman at the house, they said, hey, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? These are the two boys who are down in the well, priest kids. And the woman said, they have gone over the water brook. I don't know, they're long gone. And when they had searched, they could not find them. They returned to Jerusalem. Verse 21 says, now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. His own counselor went against them. David's hearing this. Verse 22 says, so David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over to the Jordan. Now, when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, so this guy has an ego, right? He saddled his donkey, arose, went to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself. This guy's full of pride, huh? And I got to take my advice. I'm going to hang myself. Cuckoo head. I mean, really? Some people are odd, huh? Yeah, I don't want to take my advice. I'm going to just hang myself right here. Crazy stuff. And he died. So it was successful. And he was buried in his father's tomb. Verse 24 says, then David went to Mahanaim. And Absalom crossed over the Jordan, and all his men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. Joab probably didn't like that. This Amasa was the son of the man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. Verse 26 says, so Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Verse 27 says, now it had happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, of the people of Ammon. These are probably all the names you guys skip when you read. I can see it now. Yeah. Going to pick right back up in the next chapter here. Yeah. Verse 28 says, brought beds and basins. This guy brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour, parched grain and beans and lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds. Sounds good again. Sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Wow. Yeah. So brought quite a spread to them. So let's just talk about this for a minute before we close. So Hushai, right, he sent messengers to Zadok and Abiathar. They were the priests. And so they could go and tell David Absalom's plans, okay? So it's kind of unfolding here what's going on. Hard to keep track of all these names, but this is what's going on. Hushai advised David to cross over the Jordan River, move out. So he found out what was going on. Hushai did, and he sent word back to the priest, tell your sons, go to David, tell them, move up. This is where they're coming in here to come after you. They've gathered up 12,000 men. They're coming up. So David picks up all his people, says, let's go, let's move out. Let's head across to the Jordan River, right? And so these two boys here, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, who were the priest's sons, they did it. They went to give word. They had to hide. They jumped in the well. The lady covered for them. Then they laughed. He said, oh, I don't know where those guys went. They went through here, went down by the brook, or whatever. Took them out and said, go tell David. So this is what's going on here. But we read here that this lad, this guy had spotted them, this young man, but he informed Absalom. Nothing big, right? But yeah, so they were able to hide anyway. So when Absalom's men were gone, the messengers made their way out to the well. Those two fellas, they came out. Went to David, and they told him everything that was going on. And David and his household immediately crossed over to the Jordan. And as we read here, Ahithophel, he found out that they took Hushai's word over his. He went and hung himself. Man, oh man. I don't even know what to say. Kind of stupid. Yeah. Didn't like my sermon. I'm going to go hang myself. You know? But anyway, David, he went over to Mahanaim that we read about. Absalom gathered the army of Israel. And after some time, they all went over to the Jordan River. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to heat up in the next few chapters. So, to be continued. Okay, this ends chapter 16 and 17. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for helping us understand all these things that are unraveling in the story. And what we can learn from it. And again, we continue to learn through your word how important it is to stay in communication with you every day without making a decision on our own, that we would always seek for your counsel first, not of men, but of you, Lord. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.